I'm over here now.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Two dads with two different start times for back to school in the middle of August, almost the beginning of August. Well, technically the beginning of August, with Josh Soroka, his son going back to school today, and my son going back tomorrow because they have orientation today for the new students. So it's there. It's still very strange to me to think of this starting. It just came up so quickly. And so it's the early end of summer in the O'Mara household and in the Soroka household. And the beginning of Hurricane Watch coincides with that. I think I've identified now when we start becoming aware of watching the tropics to see what's going to happen. And the dance that they perform with the Hurricane Watch is at the very best tedious, and
are
they
watching anything right now?
Yeah, okay. And at the very worst, fear mongering, because they won't tell you that that they believe if this develops, it'll go this way or that way. They really just want to get there. I watched a guy for maybe 5-7 minutes yesterday, and finally just turned it off. He was babbling to a degree that it was just, he obviously wanted
this
to fill the time.
This wasn't on your Wink News, was it? Because
no,
they never steer you wrong.
No. They when you're in the areas that really get affected by it,
right?
They don't do this. This guy was somewhere in Texas, and it was streaming. You know when they make generate more content on these TV stations now because they, like radio, they're just realizing what digital media is. So
yeah.
they need to get their content on there, and so they come out and they do that. But it does coincide with that. Now, on a related note, my bride has her annual pilgrimage to an exotic location.
Oh, the prayer breakfast.
Which I am allowed to attend.
Yes.
And they're very nice resorts and very nice places. But the idea of late September, you know, sending us to the Caribbean is not something that
I got a deal.
Thrilled
yeah.
about.
You
it's
know?
Like
it's
when
deal.
CBS wanted to do our Christmas party in February. Because they got a better deal than if they did it at Christmas time.
Not like that with this company. It's the same time last year was in Mexico. And
I remember.
This year it's in the Dominican Republic.
Next and year it's at Lansdowne.
I just, it's strange. And I guess technically it begins the start of travel season.
Oh, is this new?
No, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just rambling. I'm just filling time. And it's also our new start. Hi, why are you? No, go. See, I love you, but no, not now, please. Maybe later, I'll call you. Be available. He just material. Michael, come here.
Oh, your son. Okay. I didn't know who it was.
This is his last day. Come here. Put your headphones on.
Carrie starts school on Wednesday, too, so there's a lot of excitement around the house.
What?
Yeah.
What time does he have to be to school in the morning?
Well, we will leave the house at 7:30, is it? Or do we get there at 7:30?
I don't remember
either.
Well, you better bone up, pal.
My kids moved to middle school this year.
Right. Your kids start middle school. He's already in middle school.
Yeah, so they started middle school today, and 7 a.m. they have to be to school.
At the school. How you doing, Josh?
I'm a little tired today.
Jeez.
Especially coming off our 4 o'clock starts. That's got to suck.
Yeah,
it's not
that's
great.
That's brutal. Yeah. It's 7:30, isn't it?
No. Since I get there early, and it's always good to get there early.
Yeah, but you get there at 7:30.
Oh, yes. Get there at 7:30.
He's got summer brain.
Leave at 7.
So what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts? You don't go today. Josh's kid goes today. So how are you feeling? How are you feeling about the end of summer?
It's honestly, I woke up and I was kind of depressed like immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's great to hear from a youngster, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it's school. Rob, you remember.
How do you feel when you woke up?
Still depressed. I don't think the Prozac is working, actually. So you know what? You stay depressed and you'll do just fine, young man. Well into your 50s. They'll find medication that they say will help, but all it will do is keep you up at night thinking about how it's all going to end.
Rob, here's what Rob's medicine does for him. He's still depressed, but he just doesn't care as much about it.
Exactly.
Would that be accurate? That's kind of what it is, right?
Pretty much.
That's a sad medication, that Zacup Pro.
Well, right what there. I love is that, you know, what you're giving away in sadness, you're also giving away in happiness. You always stay at sort of a zero.
We could do a whole show.
Yes, we could.
On antidepressant medication. Yeah. But getting back to you and school, did you finish your book yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
And oh, you hated it? What did he write?
What did you read?
Oh, read.
He didn't write a novel, Rob.
I thought he finished
summer.
It up over the summer.
God,
I
your
knew
kids
he
have been gone for a while now. I can tell.
Well,
that.
Yeah, but he's advanced.
What was your book? You hated it. Sorry. We probably shouldn't say, right?
No, you
we
should.
Probably shouldn't.
No.
Say. Well,
no,
the teacher
no,
might
no,
be.
Fine.
But many. That's a standard summer reading for a lot of middle schools. Because yeah. I know my nephew had to read the exact same book.
Oh, I didn't
really?
Hear what book?
Yeah.
The book.
The name?
Yeah.
Okay. It was called Restart, and it was, I just didn't like it.
I think I've heard of this book. Isn't this a guy who goes around fixing printers?
No.
I need so much help. Can you help me with my printer today?
He unplugs it and restarts it?
I that's great. All right, I love you.
Wait, I need one more thing.
Yeah, one more thing.
Oh, yeah.
What do you want to talk about? Pokemon or fishing?
Pokemon.
Or golf?
Golf.
Okay, what do you want to talk about?
That we got rained out the last time we were going to play.
Yeah, we did. We got rained out. It's that time of year down here. Mm. That was difficult. Oh. How would you rate the summer on a scale of 1 to 10?
Solid 9.
Wow, that's terrific.
There you go. That's good. That's a good
thing.
Pretty that's
good. It was a good summer.
Yeah, that's cool.
A lot of people said it went by fast. I don't feel like it went by fast.
Well, let me tell you this, Michael. As you get older, you'll find that the days are long, but the years are short.
Right.
Now give me another pill.
By the way, Gorka's is having a mega sale today.
Okay, we'll go. Jesus.
What the hell is Gorka's?
Yeah, is that a Pokemon store?
Yeah, of course it's a Pokemon store. It's what we've lived this weekend. What? Oh, God, he's coming back. Okay,
he's
bye.
He's shy, isn't he?
See, he's in a pretty good frame of mind for going back to school. So, I don't know. I wrote it down today because we did the actual... I got rained out on Saturday. We got rained out on Sunday morning rain. And I'm talking about rain that, flooded out the people, God love them, on Sanibel Island out here in Southwest Florida that had flooding over there because it's probably not meant for human habitation right now. They're probably starting to realize that. However, with the rain out for me on Saturday, he had asked me if I would be willing to get to the GameStop store. Now, I posted a little video of it. The GameStop store on
GameStop
Saturday.
GameStop store. GameStop.
And so I decided, because I got rained out and it's 8 o'clock in the morning and I'm driving back home, I'm like, all right, I'll surprise them and say we're going to go. So we got there for a store that opens at 11 o'clock. We got there about 8:45. And I sat in the car.
Same policy as going to school.
And I got in there at 8:45, and he was there, put a camp chair in front of the door, and was number one. Maybe a kid showed up, an older kid showed up maybe about 20 minutes
just
later.
To buy these cards?
Yeah, to buy these cards at the market value before they get marked
up. Priced up. I wouldn't even do that for McCartney tickets. Good for him. He really loves it.
Was there a substantial line right before the store opened?
Right before, we could have gotten there at maybe 10:15 and been fine. They line up because there are a certain number of these. They give you a little card to get there. And the girl that ran the store was super nice. I liked her a lot. She was cool.
Is it mostly kids? Or is it mostly creepy old men?
It's a good mix. It's a variety pack. It's the best mix of the 80s, the 70s. No, it was Michael, and then a kid that's college age, and then a grandfather and a younger kid than Michael, and then I'm going to say upper teens, early 20s would be the majority of the people there.
I imagine if you were in the car, you were watching the line because you had not much to do.
Well, I watched the line up until a certain point, but then he gets a keeper pack and an open pack. So I got in line, too, with him so that he would be able to get both. It's ridiculous.
Did any policeman come up to you and ask for identification when you were standing in line?
No. And by the way, I would rate the conversations with people as not dorky, really just kind of friendly, super friendly people. In fact, the grandfather that was there with his grandkid was a lifelong Floridian and grew up on, for those of you that might not know Florida, Isla Mirada, and I was just fascinated talking to him because I would imagine that back in his day, he was older than I was.
Did he look like Ernest Hemingway?
No, he did not, but he was a white-haired guy, and he was an older guy, New Yorker, kind of.
Okay.
And but his parents were from New York, and he got the accent, but he was a Floridian and knew all the stuff about that area of the Keys that I like so
The only thing I can compare that line to is when I would go out and do Man on the Streets with people waiting in line to see a Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And they are. They're extraordarily friendly, but I think
you
it's
gotta
only
while
because
away the hours, so you might as
looking,
well do it.
They're looking to fill time, I think. That's right. Why they're friendly, yeah.
Did anyone ask you who's your favorite Pokemon? Was there much Pokemon conversation?
Yeah. No, I know Michael did. Michael had Pokemon conversations with the kid that was in line. And he was, I thought of you, Rob, because this kid was substitute.
Handsome?
He was substitute teaching, like your son did.
Okay.
And
good money.
And he was getting his teaching degree and then going on to be a regular teacher.
Did anyone were to ask you your favorite Pokemon, just tell them Sporty Spice.
Sporty Spice is my it is what his passion is. I feed some of these passions because his intensity exists for all of them. I don't think any particular hobby he has is diminishing the ones that I place more value on, like the sports.
That's good.
Later in the news.
Still into macrame?
Yeah, no, he doesn't do the macrame. He makes macaroni art now.
That's beautiful.
Later in the show, we are going to, as a matter of fact, the news today is going to be a little different because the kicker, my last story, is going to dovetail into the next segment afterwards, so we'll have a discussion about it.
Oh,
but
nice.
It does concern kids and everybody, for that matter, and I think it's 1,000% true. We'll get to that later in the show.
Speaking of kids, Mike, Restart is a novel by Gordon Corman. And it's a realistic fiction novel about Chase Ambrose, a middle schooler who suffers a head injury and loses his memory, then comes to grapple with his past as a bully and tries to navigate a new reality.
Oh, okay. Now I get it.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't want... I'm not going to get on here. I'm not getting on here and starting his school year if there happens to be, an educator listening to this. I don't think that we're in slippery slope territory. So a lot of kids, your kid has read it too. Your kids have read that.
But my nephew had to read it this summer as well.
I get it.
So it's a Maryland school.
You said I had to read it this summer.
He had Michael had to read.
No, you said time. That I did. That was your homework for me for the show.
Well, next summer you're going to write a book.
Yeah,
restart every week. Look at it that way. Every week that would be
It'd be wonderful.
Cool.
Yeah.
So the idea of back to school is strange for me. You would think I'm not that parent that does the dance and stuff because this schedule that I think Josh was excited about the new schedule to a degree.
Yes, I like this schedule.
I'm getting more of a spring forward, fall back vibe where my morning was a little discombobulated. So
you're not used to it anymore.
Yeah, I got to get the habit. Yeah. That's what I have to do. To get back to.
I was afraid I'd sleep in, so I stayed up all night.
That's good. You look like it.
Thank you. I stayed up all night under a heat lamp.
There it is. Yeah. That's why you're so burned.
Exactly.
Powder.
Oh.
What were you going to say, Josh? You were going to say something?
No,
I'm sorry.
I think the listeners prefer this schedule as well.
Okay. All right.
I think they like to get the show to them a little earlier in the day.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, they can enjoy this through April of next year. I like to set the table so that people know what's going on with that.
Because the show's ended in April?
No. The show's not going to end in April. No.
You don't know that.
Well, I don't know if the show's, you never know. We
you
always
never
need,
do.
I'll tell you what's a little disappointing today. This shouldn't be disappointing.
All right.
But as much as I was delighted with the sellout of our clearance prices on our mugs.
The mugs, yeah.
My shelf today is bare. I'm looking at a bare shelf. I mean, I felt comfort. There's not one of these. One of these mugs left, and I loved them so bad. You know.
Well, you still have some of the mini shot glasses. Left.
Yes,
you
can the
stack
shot
them
glasses
up on that
which,
shelf as well.
Yeah,
I'll stack like those out.
It'll look like they shrunk.
Put them closer to you, and the forced perspective, they'll look the same.
I appreciate everybody, and it tells me that our price points, if they come down a bit, sometimes it's great. Now, that's good. That's the dinger. I like that. Hold on, let me see if I've got that. Yes, it's here. Favorite sound alert. Play it.
Nice beaver.
Thank you.
I really thought that might have burned by now, but it seems to be gathering steam.
I'm very happy with the response, that we've had with the listeners for this. It's been a very, very nice thing. And my son off to school, I got that. And then ready for some football. I don't want to overstate things as we ease into the football season because Lord knows Josh's team's been having trouble in baseball. My Red Sox are, let me just put it this way, with all the success they've had this season, they have the potential of really running off like five losses in a row. That's the way this team is. I'm fully...
Could be 10 wins in a row, though.
No, as much as I love to see the Red Sox win, I bail on them now. If they're having one of those games, which I can recognize early, I'm not going to waste my time.
How soon can you recognize it? Second inning?
Third inning.
Third inning, okay. Yeah.
Third inning I can go.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, third inning. But football, I'm here to tell you that even in preseason, I know you don't overread preseason football, but my New York Giants looked tight. They looked good. They looked bet. They really did. They were in a situation where
they looked bet.
Bet.
Yeah.
Josh, would you like to explain the slang to
No,
Mr.
I get
Stewart?
It. No, I understand it.
It's just weird coming out of your mouth.
Yeah, it's like, speaking perfect French coming out of Josh's mouth. It's good. I just don't expect it.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's just I was really, really kind of excited. And the cool thing is the big thing coming out of the preseason game, at the end of the game, Giants first round draft pick Jackson Dart from Ole Miss, the rookie quarterback, he ran over along with Tommy Cutlets, Tommy DeVito, and they greeted their moms. And the thing about Jackson Dart's mom was ripped. First of all, she looked too young to have a quarterback in the NFL at that age, and she had like the guns. She was
it his birth mother or adopted?
I think it's birth mother.
Well, I think that's pleasant.
I'm pretty sure
it's wonderful.
Birth mother. I didn't do a real deep dive on it. It's like what people are talking about with the online presence. She looked good. She looked really, really strong.
How about Tommy's mom?
I didn't really get a look at her. She kind of had I think she was blonde, but I'm not sure. And it's like Tommy, I know he played and everything, but he's last year, right? He's yesterday's news.
Yeah, but
it's
still fun. I could imagine him going over to his mom and kissing her, and she handing him like a meatball sub.
Yeah, I
think
it.
Because he used to bring the people back to his house.
I don't think
for
she's. I don't think she's ripped per se, but I didn't get a good look at her. I know this.
Was she wearing a veil?
But it's just more signs of fall. We've got so many different things. Watching the tropics, having my kid go to school, having Josh's kid go to school, and then. Apparently saying it's fall, the listeners don't like it, Josh. They don't like us saying fall. Well, is that what it is?
I think the fact that we're saying fall in August, I think, rubs
isn't
people
it,
the wrong
don't
way.
We in too much of a hurry about starts. Everything? I mean, you got the back to school now being replaced by, is Halloween stuff in the stores yet? I
of
haven't
course.
Been out to check.
Oh, yeah, of course it is.
We did the whole thing about the whole thing about Home Depot and their 40-foot skeletons.
And here's Mrs. DeVito.
Is she on the left?
That's dad.
Oh, okay. That's Mr.
That's Dad,
DeVito.
And I guess his brother, who looks bigger than he is.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. That's cool. I don't know if his brother plays well. She is nice. I think she's very nice. That's the whole Tommy Cutlets thing. So can you find a picture of Mrs. Dart? It was a video.
Mademoiselle Dart?
Jackson Dart. Is that not a great name for
a
quarterback?
That's a great name.
I mean, really, Jackson Dart. Mm-hmm. Not to say he's going to start for the Giants over Russell Wilson. We don't know that yet. However, he looked pretty damn good. Their superlatives were flying out of the preseason game against Jimmy's team, the Buffalo Bills, who we built. And by the way, Jimmy, I know you're excited about that stadium. They are building next to the existing stadium, and that was fun to watch, the way they would do the pan down to the there she is.
Look out.
Look at the arms.
Look at everything.
Okay. All right. Calm down. Jeez.
I mean, she's
maybe
very
we'll take
pretty.
It away.
I'm not sure I like the headshot to the right. It looked like she's had a head injury or something like that.
No, that's just an earbud.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Very good. That's it.
Or something corrective. I don't know, but it's something in her ear.
Yeah, but it's the earbud's worn wrong.
Yeah.
All right. And the last football thing, since we were
how many games were over the weekend? Because all I saw was someone nailed a 70-yard field goal last night.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that, too. But the thing that was making news this morning.
Yeah.
Tom Brady, your legendary quarterback from your New England Patriots.
And beloved.
Has a statue unveiled of him. And you would think, oh, this is great. Well, people scrutinize everything, especially when you put it online.
Yeah.
And I always love when a sculpture is messed up to a point. And right away, I knew this was going to make me laugh, as it did, because the sculpture of Tom Brady appears to have an undersized head.
This is so funny.
Not Beetlejuice, but an undersized head.
This is so funny you'd bring this up. I had this in beautiful video. They unveiled recently a new statue of Martin Luther King.
Okay.
And everyone's complaining that the head's too big.
That's a terrible angle. You got to go to the full body angle.
That's still too small.
Not as bad as when you see the full body. First of all, the full body statue, it looks like Tom Brady was a more fit guy than the guy that
Is this statue at his house? Where is it?
No, it's up at the stadium.
That is a small head.
It is a small head.
It's a small head.
That's like a size 6 right there.
There it is. I guess that's at the new facility. Is that where
it
is?
Looks like it.
Or I assume that's where you'd put it.
I don't know.
Would you prefer, Mike, as I set up this video clip, would you prefer a small-headed Tom Brady to an oversized head on Martin Luther King? Because the city is in an uproar.
Oh, so they've done it again.
Committee and also the majority of...
this is the sculptor.
Actually, all of the attendees that came to the unveiling was greatly positive.
It just didn't properly characterize Dr. King.
He says he's willing to be a part of the team to help raise the money to what he says correct the statue.
I don't know.
I think the truth is in the middle.
The truth is in the middle, but they got to get this right. You know what I mean? They've got to get this right to an extent.
There's
perspective.
The statue of Lucy in Jamestown, New York, Lucille Ball. Josh, see if you can bring up a picture of Lucy. Statue from Jamestown, New York.
Now, what is the problem with Lucy's statue?
Just you'll see it. It doesn't honor the woman properly, I don't think, because it doesn't look like her.
This is what I've read about this particular dilemma, at least with the Tom Brady issue, that you have the body done by one sculptor and then the facial features done by another one.
And that head is so small.
It's so stupidly small. And don't you think when you're taking a peek at it, I know you're close to the source, that you would maybe take a look and say, that's just not quite right. And the body looks sloppy anyway.
But the face is small and does not resemble him.
Exactly.
But they make enough of these that it shouldn't be a mistake every single time.
Right.
Well, no, how do they look in Canton? They're usually pretty accurate in Canton, right?
When
they do the
busts? It's a bust.
Right, right.
You know.
So, but they don't have to really worry about matching up the parts.
No. Here is Lucille Ball.
That is horrible. That is really
the
worst.
Really, I mean, look at the teeth. Everything
looks like
about
a dude.
That.
Yeah, it does. It does.
That is so bad.
It looked like George Hamilton.
That is so. And do they ever go back and like redo them?
I think they tried to fix that.
This one they did replace it.
Okay. Good.
So do we have the replacement statue?
I'm bringing up the replacement.
Oh, is this a replacement of Lucy?
Yeah. For Lucy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's see if they improved it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Much better.
They made it a lot better.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's awesome. That looks like Lucy on the right.
Yeah.
That's
and the other good. One, if you want to see the original statue, just go to the House of Horrors at Madame Tussauds.
The hair. She never had hair that looked like that.
Maybe at the very end.
Hair looks like a...
Maybe it was already started for someone else, and then they changed
the
it.
The very end, when she and Gary would just play backgammon.
So somebody online is saying that the worst one ever is the Dwayne Wade statue. Is that because of size or
no? Hold on, I'm pulling it up. It's the face is the problem.
Okay,
and they wanted him. They tried to make him like excited.
Okay. All right, this is great. I didn't know we had a whole, pop culture thing with these sculptures.
They wanted to make him seem like, oh, dear. That's the face you put on a worm that comes out of a body in a horror film.
Oh, my God.
And he's pointing to his balls.
Oh, yeah. It's like, hey, right here.
Yeah, right here.
I got you, Tommy Cutlets, right here.
And this was one where, they don't show these until the unveiling.
Right.
Yeah. So Dwayne Wade sees that. As they pull the curtain off of it.
Can you imagine, of all the ones, and really, I think I have to go with Rob with the Lucy one. That's the worst ever. Yeah. With the unveiling on that, where you were just sitting there, especially if they had family around. But I don't think the Tom Brady one would get that reaction, because you got to really take a look, and you have to see the photograph from the right angle to really lock that in. Because it's not a total Beetlejuice head,
no.
But it's definitely out of proportion to the rest of the body.
And it's obviously before he had all of his corrective surgery to his face. But even before that, his face was more angular than that statue.
Somebody's saying from the Cristiano helmet. Ronaldo is bad as well. I don't know about Cristiano Ronaldo. We have tapped into something rather significant with these sculptures today. I think so far it is a tie between Dwayne Wade and Lucille Ball.
Here's the original body, Dwayne Wade.
Okay, what? That looks like that's just not right. That's not right on multiple levels.
Well, the body's good.
The body's good, but the pose looks like it looks like he's going
Stiletto challenge like you see on
the body here is interesting as well on Ronaldo.
That it's like a Superman body, right?
Well, there's also something going on in his pants.
Yeah, oh my God, that's that's right. There it is.
They had the same problem with Lucy.
Yeah, Lucy. Lucy had the same issue.
Huge bulge.
Oh, my God. Look at that. Well, sculpture. So
it's so funny you bring it up, because one of the things that I will do, maybe I've had a gummy or something and I'm just flipping around YouTube, I will sometimes watch videos of people going through bad wax museums, and I find it as entertaining as anything I can watch, because these people are going through, they don't even recognize the people that they're trying to portray. And if they don't have name plaques on them, you have to guess.
Well, I did a long time ago in art class, I did just a random bust of like an old man. I was just doing a face. And I remember we kept it. I thought it was like the best thing I'd ever done in art class. And we kept it in my house. I don't know how long we had it. It was there. God love my parents. They had to be laughing at it. It was there for a long time.
Oh, were you?
Middle school, probably, something like that.
Very proud.
Well, I held on. Hey, look what I did, because I got the mustache
proud.
Right.
So proud.
But I think, really, I mean, not everybody can do this, right?
No.
I think maybe they should think about AI with a 3D printer and that type of thing.
Well, I mean, obviously, Brady's in on the gag. I mean, it's a big deal for him. He could do a life mask
they could actually mold his face
to the Civil War now. Life mask.
No, death mask.
He's thinking like Mission Impossible.
A death mask is what they used to do in the old days. A life mask is what they do to like make makeup.
They do death masks back in the old days for the purpose of sculpture? Isn't that why they did it?
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay.
You know, that picture did not show Ronaldo's face very well. Here's the head.
Oh my God.
Who's looking at his face?
Look at his eyes.
The eyes are all
screwed
up.
His eyes are like a quarter of an
They're very close together.
Apart.
I will tell you this. If he really had eyes like that, it'd be easy to sneak up on him.
What is the deal with these sculptures? I mean, they don't, you know, I guess they're all over the place and some guy gets a reputation as being talented, but he's really not. That's kind of weird.
Well, he's better than me, but.
Yeah, yes. but so many sculptures are just close.
Did you ever do an actual sculpture in art class when you were growing up? Ever?
I did an alligator once.
I did an ashtray once.
My father still has the alligator. I have a bowl that I did. But no, nothing really great. You see, my father was a potter. He took like 10 years of pottery classes, and we have dishes that he made that are excellent.
Really?
Yeah, he did
it. That's kind of cool to have. Do you have them at your house?
Yeah, we use them.
That's very, very cool.
My favorite coffee cup was made by my dad because he said, look, great handle. I said, it's a good handle. He says, yeah, it's hard to throw a handle.
Did he actually continue it into his adult years?
Oh, I'm talking about this is in his adult years. This is probably from the late 90s, early 2000s.
He doesn't
do it anymore. Yeah, but I love the fact that he did it. Yeah.
Does he sign it with the toothpick down at the bottom?
It usually says Bob. Yeah.
Bob. Josh, did you ever dabble at all?
No. I remember making stuff in middle school, and I remember I made this Tasmanian devil bank. And it went in the kiln, and they melted it. So I never saw it.
So it was like the Warner Brothers Tasmanian Devil or an actual Tasmanian Devil?
No, like the cartoon.
Devil. Okay.
Like the cartoon.
Okay.
It never came out.
I think that the issue here that has to be addressed is vetting these. Now, I wouldn't use the word vetting as much as I would say quality control.
Well,
right?
do you think that first off, like the Martin Luther King statue, the sculptor was not chosen by the city, so they got sort of, you know, surprised by it. But do you think they have like a sculptor's sizzle reel? They says, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. Mm-hmm. And then they say, go ahead. And then they come out with Christian Ronaldo and his face is the size of a poker chip.
I think with the tools available to everybody nowadays, there's no excuse for that perspective being off that much. And the Tom Brady is a joke.
You should start a vicious letter writing campaign to the NBA.
Well, look, when mine gets put up at the Comedy Hall of Fame, I think that, you know, when I am up there, you know, in between Joe Rogan and Mark Maron, I really, really, really expect it. Yeah.
Mike, this
How about
is not
that
the
for
Hall
a
of Fame.
Self-inflated opinion of
Mike,
myself.
You're talking about podcast Rushmore.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
It is, of course, you, yep. Maron, Joe Rogan. Who's the fourth?
Me, Maron, Rogan, and
Ira Glass.
that's good. You win. We have to take a break. And,
oh, is it that time already?
Yeah, we've got a lot of show coming up, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh,
we really
God,
do.
God, where's the time gone?
It just flies when you're in the morning. That's just the way it works. It always works that way. So coming up news, but first I want to tell you that sometimes, you know this, you just need a little something.
Yes.
You know, something at the end of the day to make your evening more enjoyable or at least tolerable. That's where, well, Rob needs this.
Rob
needs to make his evenings more tolerable.
Anything.
He always has. And he does that with Soul, because Rob not only has Soul, but he uses Soul. Soul can help. It's a wellness brand that believes feeling good should be fun and easy, because they specialize in delicious hemp-derived THC and CBD products designed to boost your mood and help you unwind. Their best-selling out-of-office gummies were designed to provide a mild, relaxing buzz, boost your mood, and enhance creativity and relaxation. The gummies come in four different strengths, so you can find the perfect dose for your vibe, man. Plus, Soul has many other amazing wellness products with or without THC, including a variety of gummies and capsules that can improve sleep, stress, pain, focus, bloating, and more. And don't forget the amazing THC sparkling beverages. That's right, they're sparkling.
Sparkling,
mother. Hey, how about one of them soul sparkling beverages that I like so bad?
Ice cold relaxation. Rob swears by him. Bring on the good vibes and treat yourself to Soul today. Right now, Soul offering our audience 30% off your entire order. Go to GetSoul.com and use the code TMOS to GetSoul.com. Promo code TMOS, 30% off. Do it, 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 do it. What did I hear? I heard something like
that. Oh, I tapped. I tapped. Because I like.
Can you do that again so we can hear? Because it sounded horrible.
Oh. So you don't like that?
No, nobody likes that. No,
I liked it.
Nobody. Yeah. You liked hearing that in your headphones?
I liked tapping. I didn't like hearing it. I just like because you know I like the urgency of the breaking news sounder.
I get it. I understand that. Well, let me play mine then, okay? Right,
I will restrain myself.
I appreciate it. Yeah, you're ramped up. It's a new schedule. You like the early hour, right?
It's fine. I was like, I'm of two minds. I like sleeping in, but I like also getting the show as the first thing I get to do every day.
Okay.
It's a great way to start the day. So.
Okay. All right. That's squarely on the fence with that. If you had to pick one for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Mornings.
Mornings. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's start with who's more excited for going back to school season, your oldest kid, your youngest, or you?
Oh.
Is it you? In a new poll, more than 1,000 adults were asked how they usually felt about going back to school when they were kids. 35% said they were generally happy about it. I can't believe that number would be that high.
Hmm.
I didn't really dig it. 14% were very happy. Do you think there's dishonesty in this poll? Sometimes I think people are saying what they think people want to hear.
Do you think that people are going to say they're undecided?
38% said they were generally sad about it. That might include me. Mm-hmm. I wanted summer to continue. I liked effing off all summer long.
Yeah.
That's what I like. 16% who said they were very sad. Another 25% say they were neither happy nor sad. There we go.
Undecided.
I don't care. That's, Pete Davidson said neither happy nor sad. I don't know. There you go.
I think my kids were sad summer's over, but kind of excited to get back in routine with their and with their friends and stuff.
It's hard to read, Michael, but in the middle of the summer, like early early in July, he was already talking about, I don't want to go back. But now he doesn't seem as phased. So I don't get it.
Elementary school, didn't care. Mm-hmm. I just, it was just part of the thing. I hated going back to school in middle school. And then once I got into high school, I liked going back to school.
Okay.
Because there was a lot of people and a lot of stuff going on.
Parents with school-age kids were asked how they feel about their children going back to school. Over half, 51%, said they're happy about it, including 22% who are very happy. 22% said they are sad about it, including 7% who are really down. Another 23% said they're neither happy nor sad.
But
I get that. Well, I don't know if that's dumb as much as, I have had a spectacular summer with my son.
Sure.
I have had just a great time because I've prioritized him like I've never been able to with any of my kids. And it was
You got that 9 out of 10.
Yeah. And he was, there are things that I have always wanted him to like more that he turned the corner on. And the idea of baseball earlier in the year that we watched a lot of baseball. But at the same time.
The main thing you wanted him to like more was you.
This is true.
Just like with you, Rob. I know. But the thing is if you go with a 9 out of 10, that's a home run summer.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be so easy for him to say. Yeah.
But I don't mind
credit to you.
I like our routine. I think Josh might feel the same way. You like your routine when they're back at school.
It makes it easier for you,
which is always, always good. The parents who are sad about it might be stressed about school-related concerns, though. That's what they said. In the poll, the most common concern parents have, bullying, students not meeting learning objectives. Totally get that. I understand you're stressed out whether your kid's going to do well.
Bullying is going to stop this year because everyone is reading Restart by Mr. Corman.
Violence in schools, and I feel for that. There are areas where that's a big deal. Students' depression, I think about that as an anxiety. Teacher shortages, funding shortages, and the banning of books.
That Mike, are you doing news from 1950? Or is this new copy?
I'm actually doing news from the Third Reich, Rob.
Excellent. That's German what it is. News.
No, a lot of concerns. I get it, but back to school exists anyway. Morgan Wallen. Does anybody know Morgan Wallen?
Country singer, right?
Yes. I believe so. He's got the album is called I'm the Problem, and it returned to the top Billboard 200 chart, giving him a career total of 39 non-consecutive weeks in the number one spot. This ties with Elton John, who spent 39 weeks at number one between 72 and 75. Morgan and Elton have the fourth most weeks among male solo artists. That's pretty good for a country artist, I would think, right?
Yeah, that's very impressive, especially nowadays. It's hard to, you know, to move the charts like he does like that. That's pretty good.
And he is from the show The Voice.
So he's a reality star that did that. I got to check this guy out. I want to see what he's all about. Now, you usually follow the country people, Rob, just to make fun of them, but you don't know much about old Morgan, right?
No, but you see, that also means I got nothing against him because he hasn't stuck out that I'm, you know what? I appreciate all sorts of music, but I always appreciate people that have amazing runs on the chart because it means they're plugged in.
There was a big long list of artists who have spent 30 or more weeks at number one. I winnowed it down to you for the number one through number five. The Beatles, they're the record holders, 132 weeks. Yeah. That's pretty amazing. Right behind them, Taylor Swift with 86 weeks. At number three, there's your man, Elvis Presley.
Ebbish.
67 weeks. Number four, Garth Brooks. That's hard to believe, but it's true.
Not for me.
52 weeks.
That's modern chart music as well, because, you know, they cater and there's just not as much variety out there. Mm-hmm. So I think that what Morgan has done is amazingly impressive, not as impressive as what the Beatles or Elvis did, because there was so much more pop music going on at the time. But there's nothing, you can't take away the fact that that's an amazing statistic.
Well, I mean, the next one, he beat out Michael Jackson, who had 51 weeks.
Wow.
So that's pretty amazing. Yeah. So congratulations to all of them. Morgan Wallen, I'll check him out. The next time you're in the market for some cheap Swedish furniture, you might be shopping for it at an electronics store.
Hmm?
Have you heard about this?
No.
Do they teach you that here? Do they teach you that in school?
Brad.
IKEA is opening a bunch of mini IKEA stores inside Best Buy locations.
Ooh, now,
Best
Buy's
getting desperate.
I was going to say, is this opening up inside Best Buy or taking over Best Buy?
Because I would think that they would probably start with TV stand kind of furniture.
Smart,
that kind of thing.
Entertainment
maybe.
Centers, yeah.
The first 10 will pop up at Best Buy's in Florida. Ooh!
Hey, good for you.
And Texas this fall. By the way, IKEA, I've gone across Alligator Alley to IKEA to get stuff for Michael's room for his little desk.
You are looking in the wrong section of Best Buy than what they're focused on. They are focused on the appliance section and making it easier for Best Buy appliances to go into IKEA kitchens and laundry areas.
Really?
Oh, so they're customizing it to the appliance?
So they're building the IKEA cabinetry into the appliances.
The
weird appliances.
Each mini IKEA will be around 1,000 square feet, feature cabinets, as Josh said, and other storage solutions for the kitchen and the laundry room. So they're not going to show you like beds or anything in
there. The weird thing, though, is in these mini IKEAs, they have the smallest meatballs, just tiny.
Have you ever had an IKEA meatball?
I never have.
You have never had? That, I would think you'd be the first person to have.
I hate the entire notion of IKEA.
Why?
Because I come from a proper furniture store family, not a do-it-yourself family.
Well, just go to the restaurant.
Nah. You know what? They can do without.
Our IKEA here has a separate door, so you can just go to the restaurant for lunch.
Oh, it sounds like we've got an IKEA fan here.
I've been to IKEA many times, and I've had many meatballs.
So do they have
meatballs?
Stuff?
They're great. They're really good. Great.
Do they have stuff other than the meatballs?
Yeah, they've got their hot dogs are pretty good, too. But no, they have...
they have cocaine. Here's what I do. They have cocaine in there.
When I walk into IKEA...
Yes.
They have, I don't know what they call it, a meatball sundae. So I'll grab a meatball sundae at the thing at the entrance.
That's the meatballs with mashed potatoes,
right? Mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
meatballs, gravy, and cranberry sauce.
It's absolutely spectacular.
And the
meatballs.
Good.
First of all, I think the Swedish meatball is the definitive meatball. I truly do. I think they got it right with the brown sauce on the meatball. It's fantastic. Why am I hungry at this hour of the morning?
Hey, we're not used to broadcasting this hour. That's why.
It's probably what it is.
Yeah.
But Josh was right. It's all like for redesign for the appliances.
And do you think the reason you like the meatball so much is Stockholm syndrome?
That's funny. Bada bing, bada boom. Look at that. No, he's so proud of himself.
Well, you know, it's an international joke.
Yeah. It's those. Would that fall into the... what? We have to start categorizing your jokes.
Why do we have to do that?
That should fall into the... Well, how would you categorize that joke?
That's a dad joke. That's a dad joke. Yeah, okay. Because it's a joke based on a pun.
How many jokes do you think... So dad jokes are obviously to please dad. Not necessarily please the recipient, right?
Dad jokes are usually told to please the teller, yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes people come along for the ride. You never can tell.
This could be an entire segment where we could figure out the categories of your jokes, because some of your jokes are for, well, a good number of your jokes are for you.
I'd say 40%.
40%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, and I think the dad joke is to get the groan. The groan is what you want.
The groan is the satisfaction.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
For the dad.
Yes. Oh, it's all for the dad.
Precisely.
Yeah, but maybe after dad is dead, people will appreciate looking back on the dad jokes.
Two of the best buys will also let people have any IKEA product shipped there for pickup. Isn't that nice of them?
Yeah, I appreciate that. Kiss my ass.
And they're in Florida. Yeah, so
they are in Florida.
Isn't that nice? Congratulations. Electric cars might be easier on the planet, but for some passengers, they're harder on the stomach. I have no knowledge of this. I'm an electric car driver. There's the sound of mine and the dog in the back seat.
Isn't it an electric dog?
Absolutely. Studies have shown people often feel more motion sickness in EVs than in gas cars. This is big gasoline sending this out. I guarantee it. This is like, if anything, my electric car is smoother than the other cars I have.
Is it because it's too smooth? Because you know when you get seasick on a boat is when a boat is going slow. If a boat is going fast, yeah. You don't get seasick.
I've demonstrated that of the three of us, I probably have the greatest problem with motion sickness based on the ride that I went on at Disney.
I'm right there with you.
You get sick in the... Yeah, you get car sick?
On occasion. I have, on my phone, I have the little motion sensor thing turned on. So it puts all these dots on the side if I'm using the phone in the car to stop from getting motion sickness.
And guess what? We've got a new sponsor returning, which is going to be good for that. A wonderful one with an upgraded product.
I believe next week they start.
I can't wait.
Yeah, and I can't. Relief Band, it's the best. Let's see. Motion sickness more so in EVs than gas cars. Therefore, some science is behind it. Without the rumble of an engine or familiar vibrations, apparently your brain gets fewer clues about when the car is about to speed up or slow down.
I buy that.
That's the problem.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Electric cars also have a feature called regenerative braking. I love it. Oh my God, I love it. You just feel every time you use it like you are saving your brakes every time you do that.
What does it do?
Okay, so I've got a switch that's on my little, it's a little toggle switch that goes between reverse and drive.
Okay.
And then they've got D and B, which is
dick and balls.
Now, see, that wasn't dad joke.
No, that wasn't.
That was really for the audience. Thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's in the 60. That's in the 60%.
Thank you.
The B is for braking. Yes. And if you come up like, I have actually been in the car where I've got, say, 73% battery left, and I will come off the exit to of 75, going at a really good clip, and I'll hit the regenerative braking, and I will actually see the percentage of battery life go up because it regenerates the battery.
Well, the only thing braking feature that Arkea had was it actually broke. That's it. It broke all the time. If you see the percentage on the, does your car have a feature like an iPhone where you can go into like low power mode to preserve your juice?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's cool. That's very neat.
Yeah. I never use it. I use power.
What would cut out? What would low power cut out? Like slow you
low
down?
Low power keeps you, it has a governor on the speed. And what else does it do?
Does it turn off the AC?
The vibrator unit that's on my the bottom of my seat.
More the center, right? Right.
It just slows down.
Yeah. It slows it down.
So anyway, regenerative braking. It creates a slower deceleration. All these things together, you got a perfect recipe for a possible puke. Researchers say it's all about a neural mismatch, which basically means that your eyes, inner ear, and body aren't on the same page. God, Guardians of the Galaxy.
No, that makes sense.
I was in separate states when I was on that ride.
The newest coaster at King's Dominion is a hanging coaster where the track is above you. Mm-hmm. And there are several huge turns where you don't see any track in front of you, so you have no idea where you're going to go.
That hanging coaster where they strap you in by the neck.
Exactly. And
it's called the Hussein.
Only if you're found guilty.
Let's see. They're trying to some fixes like adding subtle vibrations, lighting, or visual clues like Josh was talking about on his phone to help your brain anticipate what the car is about to do.
Mm-hmm. They should just make engine noises. Mm-hmm. Should just make sounds.
Well, I love the sounds that mine makes.
Does it have a CD player, Mike? You get a CD of a car.
Yeah, it has a CD player and a cassette deck.
Boy, you're set.
And a wooden telephone on the passenger side.
That's just being silly. No telephone.
I've never been bothered. They said the most unlikely place to get it is in the driver's seat.
Yeah, because exactly what's going on.
It's your passengers that are going to go through that type of stuff. The universal addiction to smartphones. This is our final story that I would like to continue to discuss when we get done with this. The universal addiction to smartphones is actively ruining our brains, especially Gen Z, and at a pace that should absolutely freak everyone out. Now, listen, I believe this with all of my heart. Okay. I'm concerned about it. My kids' school is concerned about it as well. The Financial Times recently published a devastating analysis of American personality changes using data from the Understanding America study, and the findings should stop you cold. Listen carefully to this.
All right.
The cost of all of our devices is attention. Not just I get distracted sometimes, attention, but the deep sustained focus that conscientiousness requires, the skill of delaying gratification, resisting impulse, and staying the course is being replaced by an addiction to novelty, validation, and stimulation. The more we indulge, the less we can resist indulging, and the chart's free-falling red line for young adults shows exactly where that road leads. The speed of this shift should terrify us. The printing press transformed literacy, religion, and politics, but it did so over centuries, allowing institutions and cultures to adapt. The smartphone has reshaped cognition, social norms, and mental health in barely a decade.
Yeah.
I mean, this is legit, folks, without any meaningful adaption at all. We didn't get a century to build guardrails. We got a push notification. Future historians will likely look at this as the era in which humans zombified themselves. This is true, presuming, of course, that there are future historians not addicted to their phones. Is it too late? It might be. The genie is so far out of the bottle that it's running its own TikTok channel and also attention deficit addled kids. Regulation, don't hold your breath. Silicon Valley's incentives are too deeply tied to engagement metrics. It's true. They don't have the money. Their money is predicated on you staying online and grabbing you. I mean, we all work in it. We do it in our business. That's the way it is. Engagement currently defined thrives on keeping you distracted, anxious, and coming back for more. Anxious is massive.
Yep.
You know, are you tired of your job? Do you want to do this fix? Here's this new. I mean, it's incredible.
You can't believe what she found her husband doing. Wait till you read number 7.
It's stunning, and it's something that really, really we have to discuss on the show. Anyone who claims there's a quick fix is selling snake oil. Mm-hmm. App timers, grayscale screens, digital detoxes, these are Band-Aids on a bullet wound. The deeper reality is that smartphones, as the portal to the digital metasphere, have rewired how an entire generation thinks, feels, and relates to the world. There is no undo button.
Oh, and don't forget, we also had COVID lockdowns during the same time. as smartphones took that next step. So
yeah, it really sort of reinforced it. Yeah.
Now, there is one place to start. According to this article, they say recognition is where you start. We must acknowledge that we've engineered an attention economy whose most precious raw material is human focus, and we are burning through it like cheap fuel. Until we admit that, there's no hope of slowing the decline, much less reversing it. The 2010s will be considered the way we look at the dawn of the industrial era, a technological leap that unleashed prosperity, but also pollution, exploitation, and the collapse of old ways of life. Only this time the pollution is in our minds. It's scary, it's horrifying. Real, and I think we should continue this discussion about it and what our personal experiences are, what our kids are doing with it. It's just the way we go. And it freaks my ass out, and it should probably freak yours out as well. Before we do that, this program is sponsored by Liquid IV. Whether you're soaking up the last bits of summer or gearing up for those back-to-routine vibes, you can capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated better than water alone. Visit liquidiv.com and use code TMOS at checkout for 20% off your first order. Plus, Liquid IV has sugar-free solutions powered by Live Hydroscience for smart hydration. Visit liquidiv.com and use code TMOS at checkout for 20% off your first order. I drink it each and every day. It has three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 essential vitamins and nutrients, always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. So grab a stick and start sipping orange. You glad that Liquid IV exists?
Dad joke.
Yep, old one. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. Savor the last bits of summer with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with the code TMOS at checkout. Orange Vanilla Dream, it's the cream of the crop. That's 20% off your first order with the code TMOS at liquidiv.com. Now, that article has a lot of information to decipher, but I know that personally in my own life, I have observed not only my kid, but my wife, and you'll have a night where you got three people sitting on the sofa, me on my Mac, Carl on her phone, and Michael on their phone. And, you know, the focus, destroying our focus that we need. I was thinking just to myself the other night, checking out my Mac, which is the last thing I look at before I turn in, that when is the last time I really dove into a great novel? And it's too goddamn long. And
you're
it's
right.
Because
that's
we
valid.
Want that fix. And do you get the sense when you're surfing online? Now, yes, we have a job where sharing little clips can be beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
But do you get the feeling of emptiness that exists when you're just scrolling and clicking on video after video after video after video? I feel it is absolutely vacuous.
Do you know what it reminds me of? Is back in the days when we would take phone calls on the show, when we were on terrestrial radio, and it would be a break, and you just wanted the one call to be a capper for the segment. You wanted one decent
call. So you could just move the show along.
Right.
Right?
But you stay with it, and that's what it's like. What are you looking for? What is going to be so good that it's going to, you know, make this a successful view of my social media? It doesn't exist, but I'm guilty of it as anybody. You just keep going, keep going, keep going.
The end game of this is, you know, when they say words like the zombification of America, do you think the genie being out of the bottle is something that we can fix? Do you think this is a fixable thing?
I think that saying it's only happened in the last 10 years is an exaggeration, because I think it started with the television. And I think it just moved into our pockets as far as the wanting our attention and engagement. I think all started with the TV.
I don't think the TV is a valid comparison, because the TV was conceived as a group activity. Everything on a phone is just for you.
And I think it's just progressed along there.
Do you remember, Rob, the movie we both like is Avalon, where they talk about they talk about family dinners where people would sit around and discuss, and mm-hmm. then you move the TV dinners in front of the television,
right.
and no one was speaking to each other, and they were all. I think the similarities are there, Rob, right. from that standpoint.
Okay,
you know, but you're right. It's but demonstrate how much more severe it is when it's only you. How many times are we sitting around? The only thing we want to interact with the other person is look at this. Look what interests me, and does it interest you?
That's what I was going to say is Kelly and I have been trying to like put our phones away when we're spending time together or out to dinner, and
that's why you don't answer.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. That's why.
But did I wake you up the other morning on Saturday or Sunday? I did. I'm sorry. Even after a year, I don't know you. I'll never do that again, by the way. Because I mean, that's like, well, you have like 1 day or 2 days a week probably that you get a chance to do that. I sincerely apologize.
It was like 8:30. I would normally be awake. It was just
okay.
A Saturday
I thought you were.
Sleeping.
That's what I thought.
The main reason for the call was just to see if he was awake or.
No, it was a financial question.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And it just happened to be that night I fell asleep with my AirPods in. Mm-hmm. So I just woke up to ringing, and Mike O'Mara is calling.
Yeah. Oh, it talked to you in your head.
In my ear, yes.
And then when he answers, I mean, Josh! Josh!
It was you were on the way to the Pokemon store.
Yeah.
Trying to avoid using the phones, and it's tricky because so much of our life is on the phone now.
Yeah.
That it's like, well, I don't want to use the phone, but let me show you this picture I took earlier today. And that's now on the phone, and then we're in the phone.
And another thing that I think is divisive is, we talked about music earlier with Morgan Wallen, is that music is
I said Wallen, and is it Wallen?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know.
I thought it was Wallen.
Okay, Morgan Wallen. The music with Spotify, especially, where you're making your custom playlist just for you, music has stopped being a shared experience. And
I think that all those apps are working really hard at letting you make like a playlist that you then share with your friends try to combat that.
But I don't see that happen. I mean, remember when, Mike, you and I were youngsters and the big deal was to have a huge boombox where you could walk through the neighborhood and share the music you liked to as many people as possible.
But, mm-hmm.
I hated that.
Kids do that. You're just old. The kids do that.
They
go
still
in the car.
Do it?
They go in the car and they all have the share play where they can all add songs to the playlist, or they go to the party and they can all add their own music to the iPad that's playing.
Still divisive, because when I was growing up, there was a radio station that we all listened to, and I'm sure it's the same with everybody, which means you were exposed to the same records, the same mix of records, and even if you hated them or liked them, you shared that. It was a shared experience because it was coming through mass communication. Now you don't need radios anymore.
Well, and that's where TV has changed too. Is everyone watches it on their own time.
Very
so splintered. No water cooler
very
talk.
Splintered. Yeah.
I will tell you that the I can see both sides of what you guys are talking about, but the overall problem I get back to is the lack of focus and the short attention span theater that we have.
Think that's the worst part.
What's the worst part?
It's your brain.
Damaging the brain. Well, what do you?
You're not worried about learning things or memorizing things because you can just pull it up on your phone.
I don't
need to know these facts because it's in my pocket. I think that's the biggest thing. With the younger generation.
I used to remember so much more that I don't have to anymore because it's all in my phone at any time.
Do you think it is, to get really Orwellian on you? Do you think that perhaps this is something that can be abused in the future to control thought?
Of course.
To a degree?
Of course. That's, again, a discussion we had yesterday in the house, Kelly and I, about the kids and worried about YouTube and stuff on their phones that are at suddenly this phone and TV is going to have more control over what our kids learn and hear than us as parents. Like, I need to be concerned about what they learn in school, but not worry about YouTube. That's the bigger fear.
I think that my son's school has a policy that we poo-pooed, and now I feel horribly guilty, that no cell phones until eighth grade. Boy, do I get it now. They were forward-thinking with that, and I have to have a serious sit-down discussion with the family about that. I think that—
Does he leave in that situation, because he's not an eighth grader yet— Does he leave his phone at home? Does he leave it in the car? Do they store it for him at school? How do they handle that?
He leaves it behind.
Okay.
And the thing that freaks me out about this is that I think we've already seen the effects of a population that has short attention span, because the only thing that gets attention are sound bites, are slogans. The deep thought, people just tune out. They tune out from that, right?
And that's where you're already seeing it manipulate culture and all with politics, and how they'll make a headline that doesn't match the story in order to control the narrative, because they know people only read the headline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they can be, and they purposely make it it so you're going to hate the other side.
It is so manipulative. It can be so much more manipulative than anything we've had in the past.
You know, you go back to the era my parents were, voting in, and that where intellectual accomplishment and artistic accomplishment and educational accomplishment seemingly to me was so much more valued than it is today, where they were put up on pedestals. And you had a lot of people that were, describe this show not necessarily accurately all the time, but as being an inch deep and a mile wide. But people seemed to be more varied in their interests. They had more interests. They had more focus on things that mattered. And when we keep getting back to the genie being out of the bottle, I can't off the top of my head think of any kind of end game to fix this, especially with the dollars that are involved. It's like saying we shouldn't use oil in our fuel production anymore, because that's not going to happen because of the dollars. This is even more so, because when you cut through all the attention deficit and the lack of focus, you know what you get to? You get to, well, there's Temu. There's Amazon. They're selling you products. We're selling a product. We're guilty. We're part of it as well. It's, how do you fix this? How can it possibly be corrected?
It almost has to be the way it's sort of, I would like to think it sort of began organically. And I think people latched onto it and used it for evil. That when it began to happen, they said, hey, we can use this. We can mine this data. We can do this. We can sell this. But it sort of happened organically. I'm hoping that we can evolve away from it organically.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but it's not likely. It's something worth hoping for.
I think it's more knowledge and understanding when you're being manipulated.
Recognition.
And understanding and recognition as parents that we need to do better with our kids.
I agree.
To understand that.
I'm going
to
start it today.
In and out of their devices.
I think it's absolutely essential. And when you have, educators that are working with you, like I do, thank God, it's something to consider. Now, I think that it's going to be a tough slog for a lot of parents, myself included, but it might be something that can be helpful.
When you address it today, are you just going to text Michael?
Thank you. Thank you, Rob. We have
I'm just curious coming. How it's going to work out.
You know what we need, Rob? We need robot rabbits. That's what we need.
Oh, I know we do.
We do. We need robot
more
rabbits.
More than you know.
Yeah, more than right now. After that discussion, I have to lighten the mood a little bit. We will discuss robot rabbits when we return. This episode is brought to you by Fair Harbor.
I love it.
There's a video floating around of our own Josh Soroka floating in his pool with his Fair Harbor trunks. Yeah. And he'll be the first one to tell you that it's the most comfortable swimwear you can purchase. There are not too many weekends left in summer of 2025, so don't miss out. If you're heading to the beach or you have a vacation coming up, pack their breeze knit line trunks and say goodbye to mesh linings forever. Tell your mesh to go to hell.
You know, if you see the statue of Josh at the at the Podcasters Hall of Fame.
Yes.
He's wearing Fairhaven. He's wearing that stuff. Fair Harbor. He's wearing Fair Harbor on those
mesh statues. Is bad, but Fair Harbor trunks are soft, chafe-free, and built to move. These trunks are softer than anything you have ever felt before. You got to give Fair Harbor a try. With millions of swimsuits sold and over 70,000 five-star reviews, Fair Harbor is a crowd favorite for a reason. Fair Harbor also carries a full line of casual clothing. My wife was wearing one of their lovely shirts at dinner the other night. It was so adorable. Great short shirts and the best hoodies ever. You can match Josh and me. I love my orange Fair Harbor. They do match Josh. We're practically twins.
And also, it makes you visible if you're walking on the street.
Yeah, and you can go hunting with them. We have new codes, so head to fairharborclothing.com/TMOS20. That's for the 20% off. That's what they do. fairharborclothing.com/TMOS20 and use the code TMOS20 for 20% off your first purchase. That's Fair Harbor, H-A-R-B-O-R, clothing.com/TMOS20. That's 20% off your first purchase. And make sure you use that promo code TMOS20 as well so they know that the huge, hard at work TMOS staff sent you, ladies and gentlemen. All right, Robot Rabbits. That sounds like something that a soft mind would enjoy. Take it away.
Here they are. Your robot rabbit.
It looks not real.
It is a robot stuffed, or it is a stuffed animal rabbit that they gutted, and they put sensors and heat lamps and stuff inside of it, so it'll put out the heat signature of a rabbit and move a little bit like a rabbit. And it's filled with motion sensors and cameras stored in this box. And they are dropping 40 of these rabbits into the Everglades last week to lure in pythons.
Oh.
Because to a python, this rabbit looks real.
It's a steak. It's filet mignon.
Exactly.
Knowing Florida, I thought sure these were being designed for the dog track.
I was sitting here getting ready to just hear the stupid of stupids, but as someone
well, it's still
who
kind of stupid,
but it does to thank you, Mike, for the super sticker. We appreciate that. But I will tell you this: that the idea of doing this to lure in the pythons, they can't find these things. That's why they've multiplied the way they have, and the idea of dumping them. And I think if it works. You know, this invasive species, they've eradicated a lot of the wildlife in the Everglades. Mm-hmm. Everglades. Yeah.
They put these out last week. They're working on a new model that will smell like a rabbit that they're going to put out as well.
Could I just buy the smell? Is it possible to just get the odor? Bring it home.
Rabbit. But that's exactly because the pythons are, they shouldn't be there. So they're trying to lure them in and get rid of them.
Yeah, same and the
reason
main
they
reason,
still have the contest every year in Florida.
Right.
Where you can go and catch the biggest python and win 10 grand.
Now, there are benefits. I know people might not want to hear this of the Burmese python explosion in the Everglades. But one of the biggest ones, of course, it gives rednecks something to do on the weekend, which I don't think should be discounted. You know, you should be really aware of the fact that they go out there. No, the fact of the matter is,
people, Mike, that go out there are not governed by their cell phone. They are good Americans.
It really is something that I would like to see because I don't like the main thing. I don't like the idea of them eradicating the other wildlife. By the way, Florida is the king of invasive species anyway. The fish, the reptiles, everything. You know, a great picture of a bobcat with an iguana in it. The pit
the people.
I thought you said pit bull.
No. It would be easy to eradicate Mr. 319. He's just one guy.
What I would like to see is success. I wish them. So otherwise, you got these people that go out there. It's a big spot, not places to hide, so they don't do it that way. You know, who knows? We'll see.
Now, you say, Josh, the python is an intruder. It doesn't naturally occur in the Everglades. So then you gotta do it. Because they're going to kill everything,
And that's why they have the contest that last year's guy won $10,000 because he caught 20 of them in the Everglades.
Yeah. I'd go on a ride-along for that. I would love to do that. I'm going to see if I can do that. Love to go on a ride-along.
Why does Mike have lockjaw today? I want to go.
You know what I want to do? I want to quietly observe. I do not want to get in there and get tagged by one of these guys. Because really, they can give you a nasty bite.
What if we just arrange for a lovely fanboat ride? And you didn't necessarily have to kill anything.
First of all, it's not a fan boat. It's an airboat. That's what they call it. It's not a fan boat. Why did you call it a fan boat?
That's what I always heard it was called.
A fan boat?
Yeah, because it has a big fan on it. Right?
But, I mean, it's an airboat. Where did you ever hear it was called?
It doesn't fly.
But, I mean, how did you create that? The boat that was used in, Flipper.
An airboat.
It's an airboat.
But also, if you type it in, the first thing that Google says is, what are fan boats called? So obviously there's other idiots out there.
John,
nice.
John L. says, join the kill team, Mike.
You and Michael next summer.
Oh, my God.
We missed it this year. It's mid-July.
Much like my fear of flying where I go out and watch planes land, this would be the same thing. I have a fear of the pythons, but I wouldn't mind watching them get hunted by, you know, one of the guys that goes out there with a mullet.
An airboat is also known as a plane boat, a swamp boat, a bayou boat, and a fan boat. So I guess
I don't buy a fan boat.
Well, all right. Don't buy it.
Look at his eye. His eyebrows go up like up almost to where his hairline used to be when he does that.
No.
That's Rob's way of saying la 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 la. That was the whole tone with that. See? It's a fan boat.
Well,
I'm
telling Josh that he doesn't have to believe it. But I'm saying that I had some backing there.
I can also see a bunch of dummies saying, look at that fan boat.
Look at that fan boat.
Are you saying that Josh's opinion might trump your reality, Rob?
I don't like when people trump my reality.
All right. Well, anyway.
Mike, I don't have anything left except my reality. Let me have it.
You have it? Please. All right. Do you have beautiful video for us, though?
I do, and it's all about fan boats.
Very exciting. That's very, very exciting. Rob's got video coming up. But first, hey, we're excited about it. It's the TMOS Family Cookbook. It's fantastic. I know I have the copy. I just don't know where it is. So I'm just going to tell you about it off the top of my head.
Good.
Here it is. We have decided that we are going to produce the greatest cookbook in the history of recipe gathering. We are putting our family recipes, our own personal recipes. Rob is a cook. Josh cooks a little bit. I cook. And we have listeners that are very recipe oriented. We're getting all these recipes together and we are gathering them in a TMOS family cookbook that is available for pre-order right now. Yes, Rob.
I got a few submissions from friends of the show this weekend. I will not spoil anything to say, but Julia, my daughter, has submitted the first vegan recipe for the cookbook. So this is a cookbook. Mike, I've had this recipe. It's A-OK.
Well, tell us what it is. What is it?
It's vegan brownies. They're not as good as your mom's. They're not as good as your mom's. No, and they don't require
Julia.
Pot. Yeah. Brownies.
Okay, vegan brownies,
I've had them. They're pretty good.
Did you take a look at my brother's recipe? Matt has submitted a recipe.
I didn't yet. What?
I believe it is also vegan.
Oh, good.
It is rice and beans.
Let's have a vegan section at the very end of the book.
Hold on. You're both bringing up vegan stuff that I am all on board with, the brownies, although they won't be comparable to the best brownie recipe.
No, not at all. Yeah. Not at all.
In fact, by the way, who's going to be the editor-in-chief of the book?
Well, I am the editor, but that doesn't mean I'm selecting which recipes are in there.
Okay, well, that's kind of... I know you're the editor for putting the book together, but the final recipe decider, we might have some conflicts, you know? Who's going to do that? I don't even know if I'm qualified to do that.
I don't know. I'm making a list as recipes come in.
Are we going to do it by committee?
Yes, we're all going to meet on a fan boat and vote.
I think, really, the fair thing to do would be the three of us to hash it all out. Mm-hmm. You know, and in the dessert section, my mom's brownie recipe, the greatest brownies in the history of brownies.
Don't look to me to question that. I've made them. They're fantastic.
They are wonderful. And then we'll just have to figure out who's going in and who's not.
Well, it's going to be like I was in a town in Italy, and on one side of the street was the world's best gelato, and across
the
street.
Did you say gelato?
He did.
Gelato.
Gelato, yeah.
All right. And across the street was the world's most famous gelato.
Ah.
Did you ever watch the show Everyone Loves Raymond?
I am familiar.
Based on Ray Romano?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Yeah, so gelato?
Yeah, gelato. And also...
Josh just stopped talking. I'm sorry. I was just...
No, I'm waiting to hear how my pronunciation has to do with Ray Romano.
Your pronunciation, you mean?
That's exactly what I said. You got to get your ears checked.
Yeah. Okay. All right. No, it's fine. It's fine. So
are you going to submit your mac and cheese recipe featuring pecorino romana cheese?
That was a stretch. That was a long way to go for that
one. It was, but I mean, it was still food related.
I understand.
Partial credit.
So we will be gathering these recipes. We're taking them from listeners. Mm-hmm. It's recipes at MikeOMaraShow.com if you'd like to submit yours. We're going to vet them. We're going to go through them. We're going to edit them out. We've got Charlie's candy recipe. We've got lots of good stuff coming, and the recipe book is coming your way probably right before Thanksgiving. Is that when we're going to drop it? That's when we expect to do
early
that?
November.
Plenty of time to get the fruitcake recipe and make your fruitcakes this Christmas.
That's right. So Rob's going to put the fruitcake recipe in the cookbook.
And fake recipes are going straight in the trash. So stop wasting your time.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. It's Losers. Not a comedy book, okay? Will we put a craft recipe? Maybe. That's where I am with it now.
All right.
That's where I am with that right now. So we'll have to wait and see. That's it. It's time now, without further ado,
to
get Rob a beautiful video.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry time.
All summer long, Mike.
All hits all summer long on WAVA.
I guess choosing. Ah, yes.
Hi, everybody.
The Michael Mara Show.
Shadow Smith.
TMRS.
I guess choosing a favorite jingle is like choosing a favorite child, but I really do like that All Hits All Summer Long jingle.
I get it.
Okay. Mike, I asked before the show, as far as race cars go and NASCAR, if either you or Josh had heard of Connor Zelish or Zelish, and neither of you had, but he had a victory this weekend, and it would have been perfect if he didn't break his collarbone. Now, you think, guy in a car going 150 miles an hour, he's probably going to break his collarbone. He's probably going to get injured. He didn't get it injured during the race.
Wins. Let's go down to Mobile One Victory Lane, Dylan.
He's climbing out of his car, standing on his car. Whoops.
Ooh.
Oh, oh
no.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Did his foot get caught in that net?
He's going to be okay. I don't know what happened.
Roll it again.
Yeah. Let's
Good
do one
Lord.
More time. I mean, when you take a header that
and
off the top
the
of a car.
And you saw the pain down there.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Let's Here's
go
Connor.
Mobile One Victory Lane, Dylan.
See how it happens. Oh, it's a little glitchy. Why is it so glitchy?
I think he just slipped, Josh.
Looks also, like he might have lost gotten knocked out for a second.
Yeah,
too, you know.
I love the insightful commentary. Oh my gosh, he fell.
Let's go down to Mobile One Victory Lane, Dylan.
Okay, he's having trouble with that netting.
Yeah, that net slipped getting up.
Oh, he got caught in the net.
I think the 1 foot fell in the car, and the body fell the rest of the way.
Yeah.
That's well, we wish him a speedy recovery.
Wow. Talk about from happiness to sadness, just like that.
Mike, speaking of which, I used to be happy when The Office was on television. I liked The Office. I thought it was very good. I thought it was the best show of its type at the time.
I agree with you there.
I don't know that bringing it back in a new variation is going to work, but Peacock is going to do it. This is called The Paper, and it's the same people, including Oscar from the original show, but they're running a newspaper.
Here is one of my articles I'm particularly proud of.
I agree.
Yeah,
let's get a Sofia Vergara character.
And I'm learning a lot.
It's going to take a little time while you're waiting like a factory line.
My name is Ned Sampson. I am your new editor-in-chief.
No, he's a good actor.
Have you read this paper?
Uh-huh.
No, they're trying to make it look too much like The Office instead of something different.
But it's essentially is The Office. I mean, it's just in a different setting with a blowhard boss, a young up-and-comer that comes in to try to fix things. This is not where we need to be focusing all of our stuff.
But who's it for?
It's for, what do you mean?
Who's going to be excited for this show?
People that love, now my kids love The Office, but I don't think
they're going to be excited for this because it's not the same characters.
Exactly.
It seems like a clone.
Yeah, you've got the template there, but not the right ingredients.
This is, I think, and I hate to bring everything back full circle, but this is a result of the lack of focus and lack of creativity and lack of original ideas and suits that are more concerned with the metrics than they are with creating something special. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's what it is. It's like, how do I guarantee? I hate it. It's always been like that in Hollywood. It always has. But I mean,
it's
just
worse now because there's more outlets for it.
Well, and it's an odd character to bring back, that the crossover between the two shows is Oscar.
Well, I think he probably worked cheaper than anyone else.
Sure.
Yeah. You're not going to get
always the bad guy. Yeah. Clinger, Jamie Farr,
dude,
always
after MASH. Yeah,
exactly.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of your snakes in the Everglades, Mike.
A terrifying encounter in downtown L.A. A woman comes face to face with a slithering python on the loose in the parking structure of her apartment complex.
Low voice.
At first, she didn't think it was real, but then the snake started moving.
You nailed it.
And that sent her running. Mary Beth McDade live in downtown L.A. with the
now, by the way,
on a snake scare. It's a
this
story
is a Los Angeles reporter right
you
here.
You bet. You bet.
Look
yes,
at
that
her.
Is right. It was a bit of a scary situation out here for some residents for a while, but fortunately, some people came up with a good solution.
She's
to
83.
The problem.
I'm glad she quit smoking.
Yeah.
Look at the size of the snake on the dumpster.
Imagine coming home to this: a 20-foot python in the parking garage of your downtown LA high-rise.
You know, I was just driving in and I saw something that looked like a snake, and at first I thought it was maybe like a stuffed animal, but I'm like, who would leave such a huge stuffed animal? And then as I got closer, it looked too realistic, so I thought it was maybe taxidermy, and then it moved.
They eventually called a reptile guy who came and scooped it up and put it back where it belongs.
Boy, they're in L.A. now, too.
Yeah.
Taking over the world.
Let's close with this, Mike. I found this delightful. The 5 hours that you don't do at work. And this guy lays it out from an 8-hour day. This is how his day falls out. I like him because he's awfully truthful.
The top 5 hours of the day where I'm not doing at work. Coming in at number 5, we have the hour before lunch. By this stage, I've been at work for a couple of hours. I'm hungry. All I'm thinking about is breaking for lunch. I want to get the hell out of here. I'm not doing shit the hour before lunch. Coming in at number 4, we have the hour directly after a meeting. Paying attention during the meeting has absolutely cooked me. My attention span is done. I need a break. And for that reason, I'm not doing shit for an hour after a meeting. Coming in at number 3, the hour after lunch. Lunchtime's over and I'm depressed. All I can think about now is how badly I want to have a nap. My mind now wanders to what I'm doing after work. I don't want to be here. I'm not doing shit during the hour after lunch. Coming in at number 2, we have the first hour of the day. Look, if I'm completely honest, I'm probably not going to be here for the first 15 minutes of the day anyway. Then I'm going to come in, quick socialize with the colleagues, and then I'm immediately looking to get a coffee. I might turn my computer on and see if I got any urgent emails, but other than that, I'm not doing shit for the first hour of the day. And coming in at number 1, we have the last hour of the day. Goes without saying. I busted my ass all day. Meetings, lunch breaks, coffees. Now it's time for me to start wrapping things up and look for the exit door. Chances are, again, I won't be here for the last 15 of these minutes. So with that in mind, I'm not doing shit for the last hour of the day.
So, Mike, I just have to wonder, what line of work do you suppose he's in?
I have no earthly idea.
I don't know.
Could be so many. We got to get out of here. We'll be back with a brand new episode. Good luck with the first day of school in Josh land. And then tomorrow in my land, which means I'll talk about it on Wednesday. So there's that. And we'll figure out this whole phone thing. We'll solve the world's problems tomorrow on the show as well. So you want to stay tuned for that.
Taking my phone and turning it upside down right now.
Thank you.
Forget it.
What a protest.
Thank you.
Way to go out on a limb. Fantastic. You ought to do that in the middle of Main Street is what you really ought to do.
In Fairfax?
Yeah. It's only when there's heavy traffic. For Josh Soroka and Rob Spiewak, this is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Watch out for that car.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Well, that was pleasant. Nice of him to stop by, don't you think?
You must have been the class clown. And I say, no, I wasn't. But I sat beside the class clown and I studied him.
Sponsored by Viagra.